I imagine many of you have experienced it at one time or another. You're sitting there filled with anticipation, nervous delight, and I know some of you have a competitive edge as well. And as it goes around the circle, you wonder if this is the time that you will be chosen. You're poised, ready at a second's notice for what might be asked of you. You're wondering if the chase is on. You hear those words as it goes around the circle, duck, 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 and finally, goose. I have experienced the joy of this simple childhood game in a whole new way in some recent experiences as a pastor here. Some of you were there this summer when we were on the high school mission trip in Pennsylvania, and sitting in a circle on the hot pavement with youth from Christ Church and neighborhood children in this old mining town on water games day of their summer day camp, playing a little adaptation of Duck, Duck, Goose. And this game is called Drip, Drip, Drop. And Drip, Drip, Drop is, as you might imagine, has the added benefit and excitement of the cool water either dripping on your head or dropping and drenching you. And it's a favorite of the kids. Every time that water games come up, evidently the kids say, we have to play Drip, Drip, Drop. And I saw why. I had never heard of it before. But it's amazing as you sit there and the excitement as it goes around the circle and as you feel that cool water and you wonder if it's going to be a drip or if you're going to get drenched by the drop and get up and be ready to run. And it's this wonderful anticipation. You can get dripped on or you can get soaked as you wait for your turn. And when you get soaked, you're awake and you run and you're chasing the person that soaked you around the circle so that you can catch them before they get back to your seat so you can avoid that dreaded yet also wonderful identity of being it. Drip, drip, drip. It was a wonderful way for me to experience joyful anticipation. If you haven't played Drip, Drip, Drop, you should. It will help you understand what it means to be ready, to stay awake. Today marks a beginning. It's the beginning of Advent. So, Happy New Year. Today is the new year for the church. It is the beginning of our church year when we begin to look towards the manger, the beginning of Jesus's earthly life here with us. In the season of Advent, we pray and prepare as we prepare to receive the Christ child. But today's gospel lesson is about the end. The gospel that reminds us that even as we prepare for the beginning, we also prepare for the end. We look to that time when Jesus will return again, which will be the end of life as we now know it. So today is a beginning that asks us to think about the end. But if you think about it, when Jesus' return, that end is also a beginning. So much more than the joyful anticipation I felt, and maybe some of you that were there in this childhood game, we may all anticipate with joy Christ's return. As we prepare for the coming of the child at Christmas, we also prepare for his coming in final glory. And it's a preparation of joy, for in that time he will make all things new. He will bring the new heaven and the new earth, and every tear shall be wiped away. It's a preparation of joyful anticipation, but also one of grave concern. It's a preparation that we must take seriously, prayerfully assessing the status of our hearts and our lives in light of what God requires of us. So it's also a call to repentance and to new life. So today, our real new year, we look ahead. We assess our lives. We make new commitments. It's Christ's life and not the lunar calendar or the Times Square ball drop that marks our beginnings and our endings. Celebrating the beginning of Jesus' life here on earth as well as his return makes us take a good look at ourselves to ask how much do our lives reflect God's goodness. It's a time to make a new start that's needed in our lives and in the world around us. Jesus has been talking in the passages leading up to today's gospel lesson about trials and tribulations and war and famine, the kind of suffering and violence that's prevalent in our world today. Many of us here remain buffered from those realities. Some of us do not. But none of us is immune to the uncertainty of life, the way that life can change unexpectedly from one moment to the next. And we all know that the trials and tribulations are real, that things are not as they should be, that God's kingdom is not yet on earth as it is in heaven. So what does it mean to keep awake, to be ready? Jesus is clear that we do not know the time. We don't know the day or the hour, that only God knows. He asks us not to speculate or calculate, but to prepare. Wait, but be prepared. Wait, but not in passive resignation, but active participation, awake and ready, participation in God's end. Remember, end means also purpose. We're called to participate in God's end, God's purpose. So in terms of how we wait and prepare, the Old Testament lesson helps us out. Isaiah gives us a vision of God's future. Being prepared, being ready, is doing what we can in our lives today to live into that future even now, to shape our lives in response to what God has done for us, in response to who God is. Preparing our hearts means we look into God's heart and shape our lives to reflect God's heart. Isaiah shows us God's vision and God's heart. It says, "And it shall be at the end of days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains, and shall be raised above the hills, and all nations shall stream to it." This is the beauty of God's vision for the end of days, where everyone will come to God and follow in his paths. And then Isaiah continues by showing us what it means to follow in God's paths. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore." Notice that the swords and spears aren't just beat into pieces so that they're not usable anymore, so they can't hurt anyone. They're turned into something new. They're turned into farming tools that create and nurture life. A plowshare is that part of the plow that enters into the cleft in the earth and turns the earth over so that it's ready for planting, so that life can grow. A pruning hook cuts off that which is dead or excess from a tree or a plant so that the living part of that plant can grow and flourish and bear fruit. God's heart and God's kingdom is about taking something meant for death or harm and turning it into something meant for life and good. Swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, that which causes injury transformed into that which enables life and growth. This is God's kingdom. This is God's heart. This vision is the same vision of the life of Christ, his birth, death, resurrection, and his second coming. It's the vision that Isaiah depicts. It's the same vision of Jesus' life to which we are to be prepared, that we live into even now, to allow God to transform our lives in the same ways that Isaiah's vision describes. What are your swords, your spears? We all have them. What is God calling you this Advent season to turn over so that he can transform it into something of life, something of growth? Swords and spears are weapons that are designed not to arbitrarily cause harm to other people, but they're designed out of a desire to protect. And it's often in our own desire to protect something, whether it's our possessions or our position or our power or our ego, that we find our swords wielded in our own lives. What are you protecting? Part of being ready, staying awake, is surrendering your swords. And a living a life that calls for the surrender of the swords around you, the swords in our world. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when one of Jesus' disciples tried to protect him by using the sword, Jesus says to him, you know the story, put away your sword. Rather than protecting himself or allowing himself to be protected by the sword, Jesus chose the way of peace, the way of God's heart, and he calls us to do the same. It's no mistake that my delight in the game of drip, drip, drop came from being with children. Children have a way of disarming us, of asking us to look at things differently. In this particular circle, these children had lives about as different from mine as you could get. Their poverty, their difficult home situations and their aloneness in the world challenged some of the things nearest and dearest to my heart, and I recognized some of my swords. And in that, I also recognized some of the swords of the broken world that we live in. If you're not sure what your swords are, there's someone who can help you discover them. Maybe it's an individual or a group of people. Who is it that, uncomfortable as it may be, provokes you or makes you uncomfortable, makes you want to turn the other way? If you don't know what your swords are, I invite you to engage your heart or your life in relationship with someone that can help reveal them so that you can turn them over to be transformed. Take time this Advent to pray in silence that God will reveal what it is in your life that He wants to transform. Pray so you know what to turn over. Study the scriptures this Advent. That's how we discover God's heart. That's how we know what God's vision is so that we can live in God's heart. And as you encounter your swords, as you encounter God's heart, remember the vision of Isaiah. Remember God's hope for us, that which God will bring into reality. Remember that Jesus is coming back and that the fullness of His glory will be enjoyed by those who are closest to His heart, here and now. Be ready. Stay awake. Today we are preparing for the beginning and the end. The end is good news, when God's heart will be made known and manifest in all of heaven and all the earth. God comes into our world in a whole new way at Christmas, and God will come into our world in a whole new way when Jesus returns. Be ready. Stay awake and be part of God's vision now. Turn over your swords so God can turn them into plowshares. If you haven't played Duck Duck Goose recently, I recommend it. And if you have never played Drip Drip Drop, go ahead, it's New Year, time to make a resolution. Put it on your list for summer. As I sat in that circle, I remembered that waiting, which I don't like, can be joyful anticipation. And that uncertainty, which I also don't like, can bring with it delight. Uncertainty about when I will be chosen, about whether I would get a drip or a drop, about waiting, watching, ready. As you wait for God's coming in this beginning and in the end, seek to know God's heart. Listen for what God is calling you to surrender, what God seeks to transform, so that your life reflects His goodness. Feel the excitement and the tension, joyful anticipation and delight of knowing that Jesus is coming back, that He will make all things new. Today we prepare for the beginning and the end. Are you awake? Are you ready?